All right. Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. And so, talking about spiritual warfare tonight, continuing this passage in Ephesians, and let's pray as we get started. Let's ask the Lord to help. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity once again to stand with your word. I pray tonight that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit, and Father, that your word would go forth. I pray that as we get into your word tonight, Lord, we want to be academic. We want to learn, and we want there to be a teaching aspect, but also, Father, pray that you just help us to real practically look at your word and see what in our lives needs to change. I pray that you would help us to get an application tonight that would make a difference tomorrow. I pray that you'd be with Pastor Leo and his family as they're out of town. I pray that you just continue just to bless their hearts, and Lord, I pray they'd get some rest before they have to come home tomorrow. Pray that you bring them home safely, Lord, and just with an excitement from the conference. And Father, thank you for all that you're doing here at the church. Thank you for the outreach this morning, and for those that came. Thank you for the profession of faith. And Father, I pray that you would just work in the outreach program and help us to start discipling these new believers, and Father, I pray that you'd continue blessing the ministries here. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. So the armor of God. We are in a spiritual warfare, and it's not that you need to get into the battle. It's that you're already in it. And so, you know, if you heard that for the first time last week, I doubt anyone heard it for the first time. But if you had heard it for the first time, no doubt you would have left and suddenly viewed life differently. It's amazing. A couple weeks ago, we talked to a lady who they led to Christ, soul winning. And we went back to her door to follow up, and she had asked us to come and talk with her. And so we started talking to her about coming to church. And she said, you know, I tried to come to church last Sunday. And she said, it seemed like everything in the world went wrong. And it felt like the devil was trying to keep me from coming to church. And Pastor Leo was like, That's exactly it. That's exactly what happens. And, you know, veterans, we could say, those of us believers for a long time, understand those things and understand to view these things as spiritual warfare. And so talking about this warfare, it's interesting. I'm going to pick up where Pastor Leo left off. But he talks about putting on the whole armor, and he emphasizes that. I was speaking with some guys, just random guys the other day, that like to play airsoft. And I think there's some guys like that here, too. But, you know, I was thinking about, because I was talking to one of them after church, and he made a comment, he wasn't referring to what Pastor had said in the message, but he said, you know, the first time you play airsoft, he said, you will stand there and look around you and just be trying to figure out what's going on. And he said, and the next two or three times you play, you'll slowly begin to be part of the battle that's around you. But it's not something that just you click and suddenly you just start doing. He said, you have to realize that you're in it now. You're not watching and you're not, you know, somehow out of it. You're in the battle. And I was thinking about, you know, if I was going to go play airsoft, you know, from here to the bottom of my feet would be covered up because I'm a wimp. I don't want to come out with welts or, you know what I mean? And so as I think about put on the whole armor of God, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about that, but there is an enemy just like that person who really wants to hear you go out in airsoft. There is an enemy looking to see if you have put on all the armor today. And the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. And so no doubt, if you leave your house without a piece of armor, without something from God's word that should be protecting you, that's where he's going to shoot at. That's what he's going to aim for. And so thinking about this warfare, this is a serious matter. You know something? If I was going to leave tomorrow morning and go to a real battle, and go to, I mean, real fighting, and there was armor that I could put on that would keep me safe, do you know I can promise you I would put that armor on? Because I would kiss my wife and my children goodbye, and I would say, I have done everything I can to come home tonight. And so, I will be home tonight because I'm being careful. But the fact is, we wake up every day and we leave our homes, and it doesn't strike us that serious that today could be the day that I fall. Today could be the day where I get bitter at God, where I something gets into my heart that causes a conflict with people at church or with a family member or something. The devil could get a shot at me today, and that's exactly what he wants to do. And so in the armor here, Pastor talked about the loins girt about with truth, this undergirding, if you will. It holds all the armor together, the girdle of truth, and in verse 14 there. And he talks about the breastplate of righteousness. Pastor talked about those. Verse 15, I want to point your attention to, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I believe Pastor touched on this a little bit, but I just wanted to point out, you know, a lot of times we see the word gospel and we go, oh, you part of the God, you preach the gospel. That's, you know, we kind of lump that in. But that verse says, your feet shod, or what I do with my children, once I have them strapped in the van, I shoe them. Just like you shoe a horse, I hold the shoes and I smack them on their feet, you know, and I say, now your feet are shod. Do not take those shoes off. It's the idea of binding them on. And so your feet shod with the gospel, with the preparation of the gospel. So what your feet are being bound with is what the preparation that the gospel does. So what readiness for battle is there in the gospel that gives us peace with God? How does the gospel of peace that we have accepted, our salvation, how does that make us more ready for battle? You know, I was thinking this, and I was just asking myself these questions, and you know something? Knowing that we have peace with God, I mean, I think is at the heart of having victory in battle. This life, when everything seems to be coming at us, you know, on the hardest days that we have, knowing that we have peace with God. You know, so for starters, let me back up. The gospel is the reason that in this battle that I'm not facing God. The gospel is the reason that I have turned around and done an about face. The gospel tells me that I started out an enemy of God. I was going this way, and God was in front of me, and I was his enemy. But because of the gospel of peace, now I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And so now I have God to my back because he is my supporter. He is my strength with which I fight, and now I'm facing the enemy. And so the gospel here has prepared me for this battle. I was even thinking about all the promises that come with being saved. Remember Sunday night I talked about, that was Sunday school. I talked about how in Joshua chapter 1, God promises Joshua, everywhere your feet touch, I'll give you that land. I said, man, I don't know about you, but I'd kind of be tempted to go, like, run around everybody's yards, you know, like, ha ha, it's mine now, God's promise. But like, you know, having your feet shod with this idea that, listen, I can have victory because I have peace with God. And so the gospel of peace prepares us for battle. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because of my salvation in Jesus Christ, I have the opportunity to come boldly unto the throne of grace. This is a better one. Isaiah 26:3. Anybody know that one? I memorized that one years ago. I could tell you the place that I memorized that verse. It was in my car waiting to go into a shift at Quick Trip when I was in college. And I just had so much trouble with that job and with things going on there. One night I found that verse and I said, I need that. And so I sat and memorized, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And you know something? This gospel of peace that we have that has prepared us, we keep our minds stayed on it. We keep it fresh in our minds what that gospel of peace means. And the verse says, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And so in that gospel is trusting God. The gospel gives me peace by showing God's love for me. He who spared not his own son, but offered him up for us, and I'm going to have to paraphrase the rest, will he not much more give us all things that we need? And so Jesus died on the cross for us. We know that God loves us and will give us everything we need. You know something? When I'm in the battle, I need peace from God because he is the only source of peace that there is. How many of you get stressed out going on vacation? You know, I remember as a young person, as a single man, I used to love to go fishing. That was like, I mean, any of y'all have like a hobby y'all used to do, and that just seemed like the best thing in the world? I was probably shirking so much responsibility while I was fishing, and I was just saying, it doesn't matter because I'm catching fish. But, you know, now, you know, with more pressure and more things going on, I mean, it's not as relaxing, right? But as a young preacher, still a young preacher, so this wasn't too long ago, I remember just being like, you know, sweetheart, I got to have an afternoon where I can go fishing. I got to go fishing. I'm stressed out. I got to go fishing. And I'd go fishing. I'd, you know, cut out some time and I'd go. And I mean, my fishing poles would get tangled in the car. I'd be walking to my special spot, you know, and then they'd get tangled in the trees. And then I'd lose my favorite lure, like, right off the bat. And it was just nothing would go right. And I would come back and I'd throw them in the garage, throw the poles in the garage and say, man, that was dumb. If that had, I seriously believe this in my heart, if that had gone right, I would feel better right now. A couple years literally went that way. And you know what? God was telling me, you don't need fishing, Chris. Fishing isn't going to give you peace. Fishing is not your fix. You can't find that thing because it's me. You don't need time off. You just need me. You don't need less stress or anything else. You don't need the battle to stop. You just need me. He is the only source of peace that we can have in this battle. And so we continue now. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We are ready. You know something? Just to be super obvious, I would not leave my house barefoot. Now, I know I'm from South Carolina, and I know that, you know, those are just like redneck people, but my boys run around, they refuse to wear shoes. But me, you know, like I have to have shoes on my feet. I wear shoes at the house. Like, you know, I would not go to battle without my shoes, okay? Any of y'all say, I don't need them? Really? Man, I admire you guys. I really do. All right. So, moving on. Sorry. Verse 16. I don't know what else to say, brother. Verse 16, above all. So this above all is not saying that if you forget everything else, just remember this. That's not what it's saying, okay? But what it is saying is even though you have this other armor on, you still need to remember the shield. It's the idea that you are supposed to follow steps 1, 2, and 3 and put these pieces of armor on. But even though you have armor on, hey, listen, be practical, guys. We talked about this is serious. This is something that we're going to warfare. And so, yes, I have a breastplate. Yes, I have the girdle. And yes, I have my shoes and the armor on my arms, the gauntlets, everything else, you know, but you know what? I'm still going to say yes to the shield. I'm still going to say, yeah, let's get a little more, okay? And so above all, taking the shield of faith. This shield can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, I know not everybody in here can probably relate, but if you're in a video game, okay, this is like a super special item. And when you use this, like nothing the enemy does can work. Like literally, I'm over here, I've got my shield, and you shoot me in the back, Sam. I don't think that of you. I think you're a better guy than that. But you shoot me in the back, and you keep doing it, and it doesn't work. You know why? I've got the shield of faith. It can quench all the fiery darts. Doesn't matter if I see them or not. Doesn't matter if I'm facing the wrong way. The verse says the shield of faith can quench all the fiery darts. And so if we have this shield, he cannot shoot us. And so it's a very special shield here. Now, quench. I don't know about you guys, but as soon as I hear the word quench, I get thirsty. So, Gatorade, right? The thirst quencher. How many of you have, on a hot day, I mean, you think, oh, Gatorade, the thirst quencher. So you say, I need Gatorade, and you go get Gatorade, and then you're thirsty, right? What do you really need?
Water.
Water, that's right. And so quenched, to extinguish. The meaning there is to put it out, for it's completely gone. And so to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This shield is able to stop the lion from devouring us. The devil as a roaring lion. And so these fiery darts that are being shot at us. You know something? That in verse 11, the word is the wiles. And every time I think of that word, I think of Wile E. Coyote, right? Brother Matt, I know. The devil is just like Wile E. Coyote. At every corner, he's trying to devise some scheme, some plan to make us, to devour us, to crush us. He wants to destroy us. But you know something? If we have the shield of faith, we can be just like the Roadrunner. And we can skip right through his little trap, his scheme to make somebody mad at somebody else in church. If we'll learn to use the shield of faith properly, we can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. And so, in verse 16, I was teaching the verse to my kids, and it's funny when you teach kids, little kids, the verses, because they're like, you say, ye shall be able, and they're like, I don't know if they can picture some of those words, and so they're like, these are weird sounds, like, because we don't use the word shall and stuff, and so they're like, but ye shall be able. You know what that is? That is definite talking. That is very, that's a promise from God. Ye shall be able. And so there. That's why I say it's such a powerful weapon, is because the Bible says if you have the shield of faith, taking the shield of faith, you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. And so I was thinking about this shield. Now, when you look at verse 14, it talks about the other pieces of armor. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about, and having on the breastplate. And so the idea there with having them is that there's some preparation to be done. You have to equip them. You have to strap them on. It takes some effort there. But then you get to the shield of faith, and it says taking. You know, the shield is something that you can walk up to and grab, and it's ready. I was thinking about this because it's talking about faith. And you know, the same way that we came to faith in Christ, it's a gift. And we all have the ability to accept Christ. We have that ability to trust Him by faith. It's like a gift here, the shield, that we can pick up. You can pick it up. I can pick it up. It's not, there's no trick to it. It's just taking it, taking the shield of faith. How many times you forget something at the house and it's just because you didn't pick it up, right? It's just, you just didn't think of it. You forgot it. And so taking the shield of faith. This shield. Now, what I love about it, this is so important, because your faith is a shield. Your faith in God, your faith in who God is, your faith in what God does, your faith in everything to do with God. This is so basic, but it is so important. In Genesis, what happened when Adam and Eve talked to Satan? You know what happened? God made some rules about the garden. God said, you can eat of everything in the garden except for the fruit of this tree. And the first thing that Satan attacked was their belief in what God had said, God's word. He attacked God's word. He said, is that really what God said? And then when they said, this is what God said, he started to question God's character. He said, you know that God knows if you eat this fruit, what's going to happen? You're going to be like gods. And so God is really withholding something good from you. You know how, if we will refuse to believe those two things about God, that if we'll refuse to believe lies about what he said, if you're not sure whether or not to believe it, come to this right here and examine it and decide whether or not you should believe it. How many times have you talked to somebody or heard of somebody that they got upset about something in church or got upset about something to do with the Bible, that somebody, they thought somebody lied to them or something, that you were like, if I could just show them one verse of Scripture, it would settle this whole thing, but they refused to hear it. The Bible And so God's word, we have it. We can know the truth. We can know what to believe about God. To take the shield of faith and apply it to Adam and Eve, I mean, Eve would have shot down those fiery darts in a heartbeat. She would have known God's word, and she would have known what God said, and she would have known that God's not trying to keep something good from her. None of us would exist. maybe not. But I'll let y'all debate that later. The thing is, so the Joseph principle. I love the story of Joseph. This is what we have to take and apply to our lives. Okay? Romans 8:28. Turn over there. I'm calling it the Joseph principle because Joseph modeled this so well in his life. Once we become Christians, once we get in church for a little while, we start getting the pressure that we need to have a lot of knowledge. We start getting the pressure that we need to have a lot of answers. That we need to be this wealth of, there's so historical and geographical and there's all kinds of information out there, right? You know what the Bible tells us information does? It puffs us up. It does. It makes us think that we're so much better than others. And so, it's not don't learn, but it's if you're going to learn, you got to keep your guard up for your pride and for that attitude. I know that was supposed to be in there. So, what the temptation that we have is that we have to know these things, and if we don't, we're somehow inadequate, and that somehow our faith is irrelevant. If we don't have all the answers to answer someone, then they must be right and we must be wrong. That is exactly how this generation behind me is falling away from Christ. Because they think that not having the answers that will satisfy the world means that their faith is somehow inferior to the faith of the world, the ones who believe in evolution and all of these things, the atheists and whoever. They have a very intellectual argument, and we think that if we can't answer those, then we're wrong. You know something? Maybe I'm just okay with, I've learned that, I don't have all the answers. But listen, I'm okay with being the guy that'll just come in and say, look, I don't know, but you're wrong. I know that's not right. I know I have a God. I believe in him. I believe what he said. And you can't convince me otherwise. I'll share a story kind of along those lines. When I was in high school, and I share the story not to somehow glorify myself. This is about me. It's an experience I had, but you'll get it in a minute. So I was on the wrestling team in high school, and my coach said something. What I want to focus on is what my coach said at this wrestling match. So my freshman year, I was pretty good, and so we're at a wrestling match, and y'all are all familiar with wrestling, right? It's one person at a time. You start at the smallest and go to the biggest, and you face the other team. And so first few guys had lost. And before the match, coach came to me and said, they didn't have a guy in your weight class that you could wrestle, but they did have a senior. In our area, you weren't allowed to wrestle a senior against a freshman unless everyone was okay with it. And so coach said, look, I think you should try it. I think you can beat him. I was like, I was arrogant. I was dumb too. So I was like, if you think I can, coach, okay, let's do it. Everyone had lost, and it came to me, somehow I won. And after I won, the next guy won, and the next guy won, and we ended up winning the match. But this is the thing. After the match, Coach, you know, was kind of talking to the team, and he said, hey, guys, get this. He said, we were on our way to losing, but then this dumb freshman over here didn't know that he was supposed to lose. He just didn't know. He went in there thinking he was supposed to win this, and he did. And so what I'm telling you is that this armor of God that we have that we can put on should make us just so confident in God, and that it doesn't matter who the enemy is. It doesn't matter what's on the other side. It doesn't matter if it's financial circumstances. It doesn't matter if it's personal illness. It doesn't matter if it's an impossible job situation. It doesn't matter if it's, the end of the world as we know it with our economy and with, you know, all of the Biden politics that are going on and all of the things around us that can make us feel crippled in our faith. But if we have this armor that God has offered us, I mean, we should, just be able to stand like David in front of Goliath and chuckle and say, oh boy, this is going to be fun. We have got this in the bag, don't we? This is going to be a good one. This is, man, this will be the biggest one I've beat yet. And I don't think I'm going to lose either. And so the armor of God, that's what it can do for us. But this shield of faith, Romans 8:28, I had you turn over there. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Joseph's life kept taking so many bad turns. Joseph's life took so many bad turns. And those bad turns led him exactly where God wanted him to be. You know something? I feel like people make so many excuses. And people will live their lives and not put on the armor, not pick up the shield of faith, and not do the battle they're supposed to be doing. Oh, it's too hard, or it's too difficult, but the fact is, you can always just believe God. You can always, it's always a good time to start believing God. And that's something that you can always do, is just say, man, I believe God. I got excited about that today. I got excited in the car just thinking, that's a decision I can always make. And listen, you can be excited about it. You can always do that. You can always just say, I believe God. You know, I was thinking, the devil, he throws those tricks at you. And thinking about this shield of faith, you come through one of the things, the traps that he set for you, and you just look at him and say, I bet you didn't think I was going to trust God. Huh? Bet you didn't expect me to do that. Bet you didn't think I was going to trust him through that. I was thinking about Job in the Old Testament. And, you know, the devil got permission from God to tempt Job. And Job was going through it. And Job had all those troubles and all those problems. And what did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, you know what? I still got my shield of faith, devil. You can't take that from me. You can't take the shield of faith. And so it doesn't matter which side you hit me from. Your darts are quenched. What it takes is faith. Now, I want to remind you with this shield of faith. What does the book of James tell us about faith? Faith without works is dead. It can't be dead faith. It has to be faith that you're willing to act on. It's not stay comfortable faith. You know what a shield was used for? Shield was not used to stay here and just, you know, hunker down. These shields, they were used to advance. And the only purpose for that shield was if you would trust it enough to go forward. And so if our faith is dead, our shield's not working. And so we have to make sure that we are trusting God enough to do something. You know, I haven't finished the armor. I'm going to close on this thought tonight, though. Looking at it from the other side, what would cause me to be hit by one of the darts of Satan? Letting your guard down, absolutely. I mean, for sure, if you forgot that shield. And if you forgot that shield and you forgot a piece somewhere else, I mean, man, toast. You might as well be a wounded gazelle, you know what I mean? I mean, you might as well have a leg broke because he's going to get you. And so, you know, talking about warfare, if you want to defeat the enemy, sometimes you got to think like the enemy. And so maybe take tomorrow, when you have your devotion time, when you have time where you read and pray, maybe just think about yourself, your life, and say, what am I doing? Where am I walking out in the open? Where am I exposed? Where am I an open target for the devil? You know, for myself, you know, I've had times where it was like, I mean, it's the same place every day. It's the same habit, the same thing that causes me to have problems. And it's like, why haven't I addressed this? Why haven't I taken care of this? Boils back down to the question, are you engaged? Are you fighting? Because if you're fighting, then you want to win. And so I would encourage you tomorrow with your devotion time, with the time where you read and pray, ask the Lord to show you where maybe you're failing in this armor, with the shield of faith. I mean, strength. The shield of faith is strengthened. Where do we get our faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we get faith. Our faith is strengthened when we read God's word. Amen. So I'm going to leave that with you tonight. I won't pray. We'll go to the prayer list, and then we'll pray. So we'll go ahead and take up an offering. So I have a couple of gentlemen. I'll let y'all duke it out, whoever wants to come. I probably shouldn't say that with these guys. They might, actually.